Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're digging into South Africa's Integrated Residential Development Program. You might see it called IRDP. We're zooming in on one part, the HomeWise section of the policy document. Huh? It's all about housing help.
Exactly. Our goal here, for you listening, is to really break down this subsidy. You know, cut through the official language. We want to get a clear picture of what it offers, sure, but also who qualifies, and maybe most importantly, how you actually apply for it. That mechanism is key.
Okay, yeah, let's jump right into that mechanism because I think this is where it gets a bit confusing for people. The IRDP subsidy, it's meant to pay for things like buying land, getting the basic services connected to a site, and building the actual house.
Mm-hmm. But here's the crucial bit. The funding doesn't go to you directly. It goes to your local municipality. They get the money on a project-by-project basis, not for individual applications outside of a project.
Right, so it's all about these municipal projects. Makes sense for, like, bulk infrastructure, maybe?
Precisely. And the whole program is really targeted. It's specifically for individuals earning R7,000 Rand or less. That's before any deductions.
Okay, R7,000 or less. And within that, there are different levels, different tiers based on income, right? Let's look at the first one, the lowest bracket. That's R0 up to R3,500 ZAR. What do folks in that group get?
So if you're in that R0 to R3,500 bracket and you're able-bodied, you qualify for what they call a service site, and on top of that, a new house, specifically a 40-square-meter house.
A serviced site. What does that actually mean in practice?
Good question. It means the land is basically ready to build on, so it's got access to water, sanitation, probably electricity connections too. It's prepped. And the total value they put on this whole package, the land, the services, the little house, is R160,573 ZAR.
R160,573. Okay, but there's a nuance here for people with disabilities, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely. If someone is disabled and falls into that same R0 to R3,500 income group, they get the R160,573 plus what's called a disability variance. That extra bit is meant to cover costs for making the home accessible, you know, ramps, specific bathroom fittings, things like that.
That seems quite comprehensive for that bracket. So what about people earning a bit more, say above R3,500, but still under that R7,000 ceiling?
Right, that's the second tier. R3,501 up to R7,000 ZARR. These are often people in the gap market. They earn too much for the full subsidy, maybe too little for a bank loan. So if they can't qualify for a normal mortgage, the IRDP might still help them. They could potentially receive a free service site.
Mm-mm, just the site, not the house itself.
Generally, yes.
Yeah.
Just the service site in that case. But getting the land fully serviced, that's still a massive help, a big head start.
Definitely gives you something to build on, literally. Okay, so we know the income levels. What else? Who is actually eligible for this program overall? What's the checklist?
Well, there are some non-negotiables. You absolutely have to be a South African citizen or hold permanent residency. You need to be 18 or older. And, crucially, you must be registered on the Housing Demand Database. That's the official waiting list at your local municipality.
That database registration sounds important. What about your family situation? Does that matter?
It does, yeah. The policy is quite specific. You need to be either married or living with a long-term partner. Or, if you're single or divorced, you must have financial dependents like children who permanently live with you and rely on you. It's not really aimed at single adults without dependents.
Okay, so family structure matters. What about owning property before?
That's a big one. The rule is neither you nor your partner can currently own property, and you mustn't have received a government housing subsidy in the past. The idea is to help first-time beneficiaries, people who haven't had this kind of support before.
Makes sense. But I thought I saw a small exception somewhere. What if you used to own a house but lost it?
Yes. There's a slight exception there. If you previously owned residential property but don't anymore, you might still qualify. But likely only for a vacant service site, not the House Plus site package. It seems like a way to potentially help people who fell out of home ownership.
Interesting. And does everyone who qualifies have an equal chance, or is there a priority system?
There's definitely prioritization. The document states clearly that preference is given to applicants who are 35 years or older, and also to those with special needs, like disabled persons we mentioned earlier. Age and vulnerability give you priority on the list.
Okay, so let's say you tick all those boxes. Income, citizenship, family status, no prior ownership. Maybe you're even in a priority group. How do you actually apply? We said it's project-based.
Right, and this is probably the biggest hurdle for individuals, because the subsidy goes to the municipality for their projects. you, the applicant, have to go to your nearest municipal office. You need to physically go there and ask, is there an active IRDP project in this area? Are you accepting applications now?
So even if you're perfectly eligible on paper, if your local municipality doesn't have an IRDP project running or hasn't secured funding for one, you're stuck.
Pretty much. You can't apply without an active project in your area. Your eligibility doesn't automatically trigger an application. It's project dependent.
Wow. Okay, so summing this up for you listening, the IRDP sets out clear income bands, R0 to R7000, for getting housing help, either a service site or a site plus a basic house, but your actual access hinges entirely on whether your local municipality has secured funding and is running a specific IRDP project.
Yeah. Looking at the bigger picture, it's a strategy using these municipal projects to channel resources. It targets housing scarcity for that specific low-income group, R0-R7K. Focusing especially on those who can't get private loans and haven't had state help before, it relies heavily on the municipality being proactive.
Which leads us to a final thought for you to mull over. Given this total dependence on municipal projects, what does that mean, practically and maybe even ethically, for someone who should qualify based on need and criteria, but whose local council isn't running a project? What happens to them?